Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we introduce you to all of our favorite new discoveries and talk all about them. This is a show inspired by our most popular newsletter, which is called 10 Things We're Doing Besides.
And dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. And you can sign up for it at our website, ofakind.com, where you can also discover the products and the stories of our very favorite emerging designers. So I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
And we're your hosts.
Yes, we're going to get right into it. But first, before we jump into the topics that we wanted to discuss
today. Oh my gosh,
today,
something awesome happened today.
Yes. So Dollar a Day, which is a company that we love and think very highly of, is supporting Heritage Radio Network today. So basically what you do is you sign up to donate a dollar a day to whatever charities this organization chooses to support. And then they send you newsletters every day giving you a rundown of these organizations so you can get more involved and see what they're up to.
So what's amazing about it is you sign up, you agree to give a dollar a day, which I love that because I feel like it caters to our generation where like we don't think very far ahead. I think we can wrap our heads around a dollar a day, $30 a month. And each day they pick a different organization. And so the more people that join, the more of an impact it makes. And so, you know, in theory, you know, by if this organization has 10,000 members by, you know, at some point, a different charity will get $10,000 every day.
Which is
and they're
amazing.
Spreading the love.
Yeah. And it's also great because it's a dollar, right? And so even if you don't feel particularly strongly about a cause, you don't feel like you're really throwing down a lot of money. But if you do discover a cause through this program, you can obviously go deeper and support them in a bigger way as well.
Yeah. So Eric and I have been members of A Dollar a Day for a while now, since their launch, I think it was earlier this year, and then just happened to see that they were supporting Heritage Radio Network today and got so excited because that's the network we are on and two things we love.
Right here.
Yeah.
Converging.
So we just had to give that a shout out.
So the first thing we wanted to dig into today is linen bedding. So we're getting into the time of year when falling asleep at night is harder and harder, especially if you are in New York and you don't have central air conditioning and
or a crappy window unit.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're just like hot and sweating and wrapped up in your sheets. And we've both recently invested in linen bedding. And
I was gifted linen bedding.
You were gifted linen bedding.
I don't want to take credit for someone else's generosity.
Fair. Fair. Mine was on my wedding registry.
Mine was a wedding gift.
Perfect.
So this is the new wedding. Folks, you heard it here first. The new trend in wedding gifting, linen bedding, linen sheets, pillow shams, and duvet covers.
Exactly. So why do we think linen bedding is having a moment?
Great question. Well, I want to backtrack a little bit and say I was gifted this linen bedding, I think, in large part because the giftees, who are very close friends of mine, recognize that blue linen, indigo dyed linen, looks a lot like denim. And anyone who knows me knows that I love denim so much.
So it was because of the chambray moment.
It's like I'm sleeping in chambray, which is amazing. It's also
because you often do fall asleep wearing chambray.
Yeah, my husband calls it my chambray shirt, my pajamas. I fall asleep in it all the time, which is another story. But I think, you know, it's one of these things it's cool in the summer, it's warm in the winter. It also just has a kind of like earthy look to it that I think is really...
It has a kind of like rumpled minimalism.
Hey, this is why you're the wordsmith around here. It's a rumpled minimalism. Exactly. So the first time I really fell for it was at this amazing B&B upstate called Table on 10 that had Restoration Hardware linen sheets,
which I think are the ones that I have. Yes.
Yeah, and which have a cult following on the internet, by the way.
For sure.
And I just walked in and I was like, what is this beautiful minimalist like Japanese vibe that this bed is giving off? And and
why is this bed speaking to me?
And come to find out it's these linen sheets from Restoration Hardware that are also really soft, get better with time. They're made of this eco-friendly flax that's actually kind of it's more expensive, right?
It's more expensive because apparently handpicking the fibers off the flax is more time consuming mm-hmm. than handpicking the fibers off of cotton. So flax is a little bit of a fickle plant in that way. So that's why it's more expensive.
So the company that makes the sheets that I have, it's called Lenoto, and all the sheets are made here in New York, but the flax is from Belgium.
I think Belgian and Italian flax are the most popular.
Interesting.
Interestingly. But apparently some of the qualities of linen is that it's moth resistant, it repels dirt, and it wicks away perspiration, which are like, that's an Under Armour.
Yeah.
Word, like wicking.
This is like Nike Dry Fit.
Exactly.
It's the Nike Dry Fit of sheets.
Exactly. And it just looks great.
I do think it looks great. I don't think, you know, you don't need to iron it. It has, as you said, the naturally rumpled look. It has like a very cozy vibe to it that I'm into.
How do you care for yours? Do you treat them in any special way, or do you use and abuse?
I feel like washing sheets is like flossing. No one does it as much as they should. And
yep.
Because mine are indigo dyed, I just wash them separately from everything else so they don't make everything blue. But beyond that, I just wash them like everything else.
Yeah.
I abuse. What do you do?
I more or less do. I tumble dry low per the instructions. I don't.
I feel like everything wants to be tumble dried on low.
I don't know. I feel like because these are the nicest sheets I've ever owned and the only sheets that I've ever actually, you know, that feel expensive. Yeah. They are definitely an investment. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to get, and mine are white and just sort of like dove gray.
Okay.
And so I'm really worried about them getting mucked up really fast.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah, I'm being extra cautious with them.
Have you found when you first put yours on, was it weird for you? Or you like this? There's like too much texture to these sheets? Cause they do have a texture to them.
I really like it.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Mine have gotten softer over time, which is really
lovely. And I think that is something, I think that's one of their points of appeal too, that they do like wear well and last really well. Aesthetically, one of the other things that I've liked that I've been seeing lately are people mix and matching different colors of linen sheets.
Yeah, so it's got like a monochromatic color blocking.
Exactly. So sort of different shades of whites and grays. Mm-hmm. Or Ramadalista had a post on super, super pale pink sheets, linen sheets having a moment.
It's a ballet slipper pink.
Exactly.
That is really pretty.
Isn't that really pretty? And so.
And different. Yeah.
I
feel like nobody, I don't think my husband would be down with me putting pink sheets on the bed necessarily.
No.
I would be.
Probably not. But the colors, they were described as rose water.
Oh.
Or champagne pink. Different
like
ways
that.
Of trying to make it sound not just straight, like, pink, pink, girl.
Okay.
Pink.
I can get into that. It feels like the color of dreams. I feel like I dream in that color.
Absolutely.
All right. So speaking of something else that we both got into recently in the last year, bras without underwires. So I've been really into these Honeydew. It's called the Honeydew Camellia Lace Bralette. And it's just underwires. I think we have some male listeners who might not be as familiar with the underwire. Should we give a quick like description? The underwire is a thing. It's in most bras. It's a U-shaped wire that's sewn into the bra that just sort of gives more form and shape and support to the breast, right?
Yeah.
And it's in most bras. Like, it's a given in most bras, right?
Yeah, it's assumed, basically.
It's assumed.
Yeah.
But it is not that awesome from a comfort perspective.
You have a piece of metal pushing up against your rib cage.
Exactly. It presses against you. It also, I've always found, getting back to this idea of how I wash everything like the same, I just use and abuse. I don't wash bras properly, so the underwire at some point always pokes out of the fabric and like stabs me in the chest in a really uncomfortable way. And I think most women have probably had this experience.
Most
at some
absolutely.
Point. Yeah, right? That is awful. And you're like, why am I wearing this torture device? The other thing that happens is depending on how sensitive the metal detector you're going through is, you might set off the metal detector. I read that this is like one of the most frequent, cited by the TSA, one of the most frequent false alarm causes.
For like a deeper investigation while trying to board an airplane,
which is so pathetic. So now I think we're at this point in time where the makers of bras and underwear are starting to make bras that still make you look awesome without the terrible underwire.
Yes. Well, and so Claire's been into this for a long time, and I just recently found one that I could get really excited, which is from a company called Third Love, and the style is True Bliss, and it's basically a molded cup still, which, you know, sort of
which
like
means
aligned.
You still get the support.
Exactly.
So the one I wear is more of that like American Apparel androgynous style where it's like there's not a lot of support. You're just kind of like doing what you do. Like you might as well not really be wearing a bra, but you're wearing one.
Exactly.
The one that you like is still like a it's still
and I like I need more there.
You're blessed.
So it's like a molded cup, and then it has an elastic, a thick, sort of wide but comfortable elastic band under it. And I never really thought that I was going to find an under wireless bra that I could get into, but this one's like up my alley. And apparently the brand Fortnite, which is like a cool indie lingerie company, also makes a style in a D and double D that's worth checking out as well.
So ladies, I think Art, the time has come. We are all going to be liberated at this point from the the underwire pretty soon.
So why do we think, why is this happening?
So I think,
besides the fact that we're all tired of being uncomfortable.
Yeah. And we're fine. I think a part of it is there's this, we've seen that shift to, I said like American Apparel, but just that's more like an androgynous look. That's not androgynous maybe isn't even the right word. It's like a 90s minimalist, like doesn't have to be all about the curviness.
Right.
So you don't need to like lift them up and pad them and make them perfect.
It's an anti
spheres.
Sort of wonder bra movement.
It's totally the anti.
It's the same reason why there was an article in New York Magazine this week. I didn't read it very in depth, but basically it talks about how breast implants are dropping.
Oh, really?
Because the look is out.
Yeah.
The look is out.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, I feel in general, and I've done I don't know if it was the Wonder Bra, whatever. Is that the one Victoria's Secret makes?
No, Wonder Bra is its own brand, but it's like
whatever
it's like
that thing was.
Bra.
Miracle Bra. Yeah, I wore the Miracle Bra like all through high school and college because I wanted that like pushed up look. And now whether it's because I'm older, because it's what's in fashion, I don't want as much of that voluptuous look, I guess. And so I think that's part of it is I'm just comfortable playing them down a little bit.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And so in addition to the ones that we just spoke about, you should definitely check out Jornelle, which is a really cool New York-based retailer that stocks a bunch of different very cool brands. And they have a wireless bra page on their site that has 100 different styles on it.
Wow. So that's really a sign of the times. They have a whole category called wireless bras.
Exactly. And they have Ebergé and they have Base Range and Only Hearts. Stella McCartney makes some. So there are a bunch of different brands who are really pushing in this direction.
Hey, and I am all for it because I never want to have to deal with an underwire poking out of my bra and into my chest ever again. It's so terrible.
And on that note, should we go to commercial?
Let's do it.
Take a sip from your chalice. Break song today is Shadow Puppets by Odetta Hartman. We'll be right back.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hello, and we are back. You are listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
And we are now bringing on a very special guest. Her name is Courtney Klein, and she's a good friend of ours and a good friend of a kind. She, in a previous life, designed websites and, in fact, is...
Hours included.
she, a long time ago, we had a really ugly website, and Courtney turned it around because she was a partner at a firm called Hard hard candy shell. And now she is the founder of a really awesome company called Stork, and we're going to let her tell you what Stork does. Are you there, Courtney?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
You yes. sound great.
Welcome.
You sound fantastic.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
We're so
excited.
This is like
the best part of my day.
Oh, good. I mean, sad that this is the best part of your day, but we're flattered. Courtney.
We get to talk to you.
Yeah. So the other thing I didn't say is that Courtney lived in New York when we met her, and she has since moved to San Francisco. So she's like our long distance lover, and it is really exciting to get to have this moment
time.
With her.
Yeah.
So Courtney, tell us about Stork.
Sure. So, you know, as you guys mentioned in a previous life, I was a partner at a design agency called Hard Candy Shell. But when I moved to San Francisco, I took it as an opportunity to do something new. And so, you know, after hearing countless complaints from friends and family about the lack of chic, simple maternity options on the market that really, like, let you maintain your identity and style while you're pregnant, I decided to start Stork. And so, you know, now we're creating these this capsule collection of clothing that lets you feel like yourself during pregnancy. And then now we're expanding actually into, you know, products that do the same thing for parents. So we just actually launched yesterday or Monday our new carry-all, which is a diaper bag.
And it's awesome. It's the coolest
like
looking diaper bag that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's very, men can carry it, women can carry it, and it is so awesome. And
you would never know it was a diaper bag looking
at it. I'm so excited. I'm like, I want to carry it. I want to give it to everybody, which is in line with the rest of your line. I also want to say, for anybody listening, Stork is spelled with a Q, so it's S-T-O-R-Q, if you want to Google it, and we'll obviously post the link. But similarly to the diaper bag from your line that I want to carry, I also want to wear the really cute cotton like t-shirt dress and the tank top and the leggings. It's like a basics bundle. It's like all the stuff that you want to wear every day, but made for your growing belly. Right?
Yeah. I mean, right? I think, you know, what we're seeing and what really got me passionate about Stork and working on it was that we're seeing, you know, and you guys, you know, it's no surprise to you, you know, amongst our friend group, is that women are having babies now older than ever.
Yep.
You know, more babies are being born to women over 30 than ever before. And when you're over 30, you have a different, you know, you're at a different life cycle. And the maternity market hasn't really adjusted to target those customers who have their own identity and style, who might have a different approach to motherhood where it's not about martyrdom, but it's about, you know, incorporating your kid into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's sort of the mission that we're on, is to, you know, how can we empower you while you're doing this amazing thing, which is parenthood, to still feel like yourself. And I think that that's really important.
And I, like, you and I have talked a lot, and I really love that you have, there's like a really strong philosophy that underlies what is an apparel and like accessories company. And it has to do with this idea that we should start questioning all of these sort of longstanding rules about what it means to be
these
a parent.
Prescriptions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you talk a little bit more about what, I know that there was a book that you cite a lot that sort of thinks about like what can and can't we do as a parent and as a mother, right?
Well, I mean, I think my sort of overall philosophy and something that we like say all the time at Stork is like, pregnant ladies are people too. parents are people
too. What a novel idea.
When you there's this idea when you become a parent or when you become pregnant that like that's your identity and there's nothing outside of that. And I think that
You should only self-identify as that.
The narrative of parenthood has been sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we say there are no rules. You can do it any way you want, mm-hmm. parenthood and pregnancy. And I think, you know, going back to the book that really inspired me was Emily Oster's Expecting Better,
okay.
which was sort of an economist's take on pregnancy and a lot of the literature and the myths and stuff that are out there. And I found that really empowering. And I sort of looked into that at a sort of grander scale. With parenthood as well. And I think, you know, there's no right way to do it. And
right.
I think that's sort of the narrative that we're challenging.
Related to that, are there any moms who are sort of iconic to you and that you think they're doing it their own way and that you're just, that they make you feel empowered to go at it your own way?
Oh my gosh, that's a that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think there are so many moms that are doing it their own way, and like we're starting to see them, that I feel like I'm almost overwhelmed by the amount of people. I'm like, I can't decide. I can't ever pick favorites.
Stork's Instagram is really good. If you don't follow it, you should. We'll post the link to it. But it just posts awesome pictures of all of the like famous and celebrity moms at when they're pregnant and with their kids. And it is really a sort of inspiring visual representation of all of the different ways to be a mother.
And it captures these really magical moments that you don't typically totally. See. It's not, you know, moms on
yeah,
the red
I'm
carpet.
I'm really excited. Today's Instagram was like maybe one of my favorite company milestones that we've had yet. But one of our customers, Julie O'Rourke from Maine, awesome shout out, Julie. She had her baby at home and she labored in Stork. And it was like a really amazing,
whoa.
Awesome milestone for us. And like the photos that she posted are just like, they make me teary every time I look at them.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. So the Stork product, because we haven't really gotten too much into it, it's basics. It's like the stuff that you can layer on top of and feel really comfortable and it doesn't have seams in it or tags, right? And so that it's it allows you to express your individuality and your personality and still maintain that your own sense of style because it's really
basic. You know, like the way we think about our basics and we sell it in this four-piece bundle of the dress, the skirt, the tank, and the leggings is it's your base layer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, a lot of women tell me, like, I don't want to buy maternity clothes. I get you. More power to you if you can make it throughout your pregnancy without buying a single maternity item. But the idea is that Stork is that base layer. These are the things that are going to be against your skin. They're going to feel good. And then, yeah, that amazing, like, jacket that you wanted to buy, go ahead and treat yourself because mm-hmm. it's still going to fit after whether it's maternity or not.
Exactly.
You know, but we're trying to provide that base layer.
Exactly. So you became a mom right around the same time that you launched Stork.
I did.
What have been the biggest surprises and the most rewarding parts of that? I mean, which is like the most open-ended question I could possibly ask you, but basically let's talk about you being a mom.
Everything. No, I mean, I think that the biggest surprise was how easy it was. And I should say that not because I'm like a super mom. I'm not. I'm mm-hmm. like messing up left and right. Like, believe me. But
tell us about one of your biggest mess ups.
Low expectations. I had the lowest expectations.
Okay.
I think I really was like buying into that narrative that like, if you have a kid, your life is over. Like, okay. I always joke that like when I was on my way to the hospital to have my kid, I was like yelling at my husband. I'm like, we should have thought about this. I'm not ready. Like, he was like, babe, too late. Like, we're literally having a baby right now.
That's
like,
amazing.
Happening.
To other, is that like a common thing? You're going into labor and you're like, oh, damn it. We did not.
I
we should
know,
have thought about
but
this.
For me, it definitely was. And I felt like, you know, I felt a little bit shameful about it because I was like, this is supposed to be like about the baby and it's amazing. And like, I was so worried I was going to lose myself and that I was going to be lobotomized and mm-hmm. I was going to come out of it as this mom zombie. And then my daughter Nell was born, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm still me. Like, I still, like, do all the awesome things I like, want to do. And also, I get to experience everything for the first time again through my daughter.
Oh,
and she's amazing.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, went into it with, like, very scared. And I've been pleasantly surprised. Like, is it easy all the time? No, not at all. But it's overwhelmingly positive. That's what I'll say. I'm always trying to convince Claire that like
that's
cool.
It is very inspiring listening to you. I'm sitting here silent because I'm like I personally, I'm always like, I want kids, but it seems so freaking scary. And like, how will I ever do all the things that I want to do and also have a kid? And so Courtney's like my mom expert for the last year since she's had a kid. And I quiz her constantly. And one of the things that you've told me is that your sort of stance on things is that you're going to adapt your kid to your lifestyle. It's not going to be that you're going to adapt your lifestyle to your kid. And I think, oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. Can you talk a little bit about the things you do that to execute on that philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one piece of advice that someone gave me and that my husband when we were pregnant was, he said, look, like, you and your husband are going to be together a lot longer than, like, you and this kid's going to be living with you. You know, mm-hmm. like, you're going to be a person beyond this person, and you need to protect that, and you need to nurture that. And I think that really stuck with me, this idea that, like, my life can't just be about Nell now. Like, I need to continue to nurture myself. And I find that really inspiring to think that she can look at me and think, you can be a mom and you can be a stay-at-home mom or you can be a working mom or, you know, you can be whoever you are. And that's, like, something I'm trying to live up to. But, mm-hmm. you know, just in terms of, like, a day-to-day, how do we do it kind of thing, yeah. I mean, I think we're really, like, we just kind of go with the flow. Like, we went camping when Nell was 4 weeks old because we were like, this is important to us. This is who we are as a family. It's really scary, but we're just going to go for it. And I think that, like, not being scared is something that I've really tried to work on as I've had Nell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're also, you know, like, we take her with us a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, like, she's probably been on 15 flights in the last year.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, one of those things where you just do it, or I've just tried to do it. Like, I have a tendency to be afraid, and I think that's, like, what I've been fighting, and that's, like, sort of, like, what I've been trying to work against as a mom. It's, like, that fear of, like, no, we have to, like, do all these rules. We have to, like, play, you know, do things a specific way. I think, as I said earlier, it's, like, we just do it the way that it works for us, and what works for us might not work for, you know, person X down the street.
Right. It reminds me, last week we were talking about the things that Eric and I sort of have held on to when we started the business, and there are certain stuff that we protect and said, like, this is a part of my life. And for me, it was running. And I said, no matter how crazy things get with the business, I'm going to continue to run. And I think, you know, seeing you carry out that same philosophy with your being a parent of, like, okay, we like camping, so we're going to continue to camp despite the fact that we have a newborn. It's like, it helps me think about, like, okay, it's similar in that sense where you're like, these are the things I protect. I'm going to have to compromise on other things, but I'm choosing these parts that sort of make me who I am and make me happy.
Right. There are things that are that are just essential to you, and the idea that you would have to change entirely to become a parent, or that you would have to make, you know, every single sacrifice, isn't going to help you parent, isn't going to make you excited about Nell, isn't going to make you excited about spending time in that way.
Yeah. You're not going to, if you're not doing the things that you love and that fulfill you and make you who you are, you're not going to be as good of a parent, right?
Exactly.
So you need to do those things.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, like, something that I, like, when I was on maternity leave, you know, I think what I realized during that period of time is that, like, I love her. I love spending time with her. But being a stay-at-home mom just wasn't me. Like, I didn't feel like I was being a great parent to her.
Right.
But now, you know, that she goes to daycare and her and I have, like, hours, you know, like, when she gets home at daycare at 4:30, and I, you know, I've blocked out my day from 4:30 to 7:30 to spend with her. I'm not on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing anything else. I'm 100% tuned into her, and I've, like, carved out that hour or those 3 hours to be with her. That I think that, like, for me, and, you know, some people, I watch my friends who are amazing at being with their kids all day.
Yeah.
And, like, I see that, and I'm like, that is so awesome.
It's
but
different
for me, that
everybody.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
I tried it, and so I adapted.
That's awesome. The thing I always say, my mother worked a lot and traveled a lot, and I always, and obviously Nell is too young to be sort of conscious of this stuff, but for me, I say, for all the times I missed my mom or wished she was around as a working mom, I was way more inspired by the fact that she was a working mother and all that she achieved professionally, and that was the thing that really stuck with me. So I think it's just, like, it's different for everybody, and you're setting an amazing example for your daughter by saying, like, I started a business and had you right around the same time, and I'm building this.
I mean, that was poor planning on my part.
It was not intentional. Okay, so I have one final question before we get to a really fun game we're going to play. How does one take maternity leave when one has her own business?
Yes.
Like, how is that?
What
even
did that
possible?
Look like?
It's really interesting and hard. And I probably should have done, I think I was probably in a little bit of denial about Nell's arrival. And so I probably could have put things in place a little better. But the way I did it is I took 2 weeks where I was not even remote, like, you know, out
not
of office,
checking in.
Vacation responder on. Whatever happens during those 2 weeks, like, my team and, you know, will take care of it, and I trust them and completely, so I'm just not going
to
worry.
How hard was that to do? Or were you just so, like, blinded by love and new motherhood that you didn't even think about your email?
I was so tired that I was, like, even approaching a computer just seemed crazy.
Yeah, okay.
Just seemed crazy. So the 2 weeks, I think that was my, like, definite Nell time. And then I just sort of eased back into it. And it was definitely, you know, there are moments in which I wish that I could have just spent all of my time completely focused on Nell. And that's probably something that I'll, like, think about for a long time. But on the flip side, it was good, you know. So, and then I worked from home. For the first 3 months.
Okay.
So I was, you know, I eased back into it, and then I worked from home. And I think, you know, for me, that also helped that I had something to do. Like, I had a reason to get dressed, and I had, phone calls scheduled. And so it was definitely a challenging balancing act, and I was doing a lot of work from, you know, she'd wake up at 6. I'd do work from 6 to 10 while Zach was home. Then I'd sort of, like, you know, check in throughout the day, and then I'd start work again at, you know, 6:30 when Zach got home, and I'd work till 10.
Okay.
Interesting. So I had kind of, like, crazy hours.
So you had, like, an 8-hour day that ran from 6 to 10 and 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
That, I mean, that alone is really inspiring. It's like, I would never think about the fact that that is still an 8-hour day. But it's just that you worked in the morning and the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie. It was really hard, and I was probably not my best self. Thank you to everyone who, like, was bearing with me during that time. But you know, I think it's, like, one of the things, you make it work. It's, totally. Like, your reality. You kind of have to just, like, roll with it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to have this conversation again, like, 10 years from now.
Absolutely.
When Nell is a preteen.
Yeah. When Nell's getting ready for, like, her first dance.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Okay, so should we do our lightning round? Okay, so for our longtime listeners, for all of the 5 episodes that we've done, we did a game with Lindsay Green when she was on called LG Love / Hates, and it spoke to Lindsay's sort of personality, which is she either really loves things or really hates
things. She's a very black and white person.
No middle ground.
Way. Yeah.
And so it's really fun to just throw things at Lindsay and say, like, Groundhog Day, and see how she feels about it, because you know she'll have an opinion.
And she loves it. She loves it is the answer.
So we made up a game, which we now basically want to play with all of our hosts, where we just do a lightning round of LG Love / Hates. So we're going to throw a bunch of random things at you, Courtney, and you have to take a stance. Okay?
If pro it's or like, con. You can, I mean, if you have middle ground, we will accept that, but we just want to hear your honest to goodness thoughts on these things straight from your gut.
Yeah. And listen, okay. If you have to pass, you have to pass. You are. This is public. This is going to be archived. So just remember, this is a really important moment in your life. Everything rides on this. Okay.
No pressure.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay. Drop crotch pants.
Hate.
Oh, okay.
Pacifiers.
Love. Begrudgingly love.
Do That's you a good get one.
So one thing somebody said to me the other day, who is a parent who lives in Oakland, she was like, I feel like the margin of error as a parent in the Bay Area and in New York is so much lower because people will get up in your face. She's like, I've had people walk up to me and be like, your daughter's too old for a pacifier, and it's like, you can't screw up because everybody will come up to you. Have you had that experience? Do people get upset with you about pacifiers?
No one said anything about my pacifier. I think that's my own internal guilt.
Okay,
but I've definitely had someone come up to me about my stroller being black and how I was probably going to burn my child.
Wow.
People will really go for it, huh?
Gosh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Back to our...
back to our lightning round. How do you feel about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, a.k.a. just The Rock?
Love.
Love.
I'll just hand out more love than hate today.
There you go.
Super positive.
Kumquats.
Love.
Okay. Any particular feelings on those? Just a love. Just being positive.
I'm really into Mandarin quats, which is like a thing here in San Francisco.
See, this is why it was important that you moved to San Francisco, because it's like, we need a resident expert over there to tell us about the cool new trends in citrus.
Yeah, Mandarin quats.
What the
They're
F
like
is
way
that?
Better than kumquats.
How Good does it
know.
Differ?
Good to know.
What is it like? Is it the size of an orange or like a tangerine?
No, it's small. It's still small. It just tastes better.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm missing out. Mandarin
Again.
Quads. Okay.
Move here.
James Franco.
Ooh, hate.
All right.
With you.
Eric is thrilled about that. So is Jack, our producer. He just pounded his chest, actually, in agreement. Okay. Sticking with the celebrity trend, Kendall Jenner.
I really have no opinion.
I feel the same way that you do. And the other day, Erica came out of the closet and was like, I'm obsessed with Kendall Jenner.
I'm on board. I don't know why.
Again, I'll
couldn't
give
tell
more
you why.
Love. If I had no strong opinion, I'll give more love.
Okay,
love.
That's fine.
Picklebacks.
For those
what?
Picklebacks, like you take a shot of whiskey and then
love,
you chase
love,
it with a pickle
love,
juice.
Love.
Okay, great. Good. Me too.
Two more.
Okay. Snapchat.
Love. It's a new love.
We're not even friends on Snapchat. God, this is
okay.
So,
okay.
We need to, yeah.
Last one, surf spray.
Oh,
like hair product surf spray.
Oh, love.
Yeah,
love.
Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't love that texture? Oh, yeah. I mean, I have such dry hair, I don't need to use it. Surf spray is like, it's like salt water in a bottle that you pay $15 for that makes your hair look like you're at the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah, who doesn't
love it? Who wouldn't want to pay $15 for
mermaid hair.
Oh, well, of course you love it. It's called mermaid hair.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Courtney, for coming on, and thanks everyone for listening to us talk about linen bedding, wireless bras, and parenting and business.
Yeah. Thanks, Courtney.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me. This was fun.
Bye. That's the show.
Bye. Cool.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.